2:1.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our
Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible is a live call-in talk show every Monday from 6 to 7 right here on this radio station. David Harris and Tom Moore will cover difficult topics of life and worship and will give a Bible answer for every question. We encourage you to tune in and call in every Monday night from 6 to 7. The number is 855-QA-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Now join our hosts, David Harris and Tom Moore.
Welcome to the Harris Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And along with us tonight, as always, is Frank Briscoe, the gospel preacher at Santo, Texas, and he will be running our boards and our phone lines for us, and we're always pleased and thankful to have Frank along with us for some sage wisdom and advice as we go along. We have a good program for you tonight. This is one of those current events that has been infiltrating the news media here for the last couple of weeks and taking on really a life of its own. There are a lot of things that are newsworthy out there, and we ought not to even be having to talk about this sort of a thing, but we need to address it from a biblical standpoint. We've heard an awful lot about what men have had to say, and what we want you to hear tonight is what the Word of God has to say about this political correctness that just surrounds us here. We are currently living in a society in which the outspoken portion of our society believes, for the most part, that we as citizens are to agree to be careful not to use language or behavior that might be offensive to any group of people. Now, that is a definition from Webster's Dictionary, which is commonly called political correctness. So let me read you that definition again. Agree to be careful not to use language or behavior that might be offensive to any group of people. Webster's Dictionary, that's known as political correctness. Now, the problem is that we see this political correctness being imposed now as law and as intimidation by government and financial businesses to force the acceptance of that which is, for the most part, abhorrent. And this political correctness is being imposed by the acceptance of the religion of Islam. Just last Monday, the Council of the Muslim Organization is holding its second annual National Muslim Advocacy Day on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And the purpose of this meeting is to focus with our lawmakers on promoting a legislative agenda in support of equality and social justice issues for the religion of Islam. Now, this is politically correct when it comes to Islam, but when it comes to Christianity, it's not politically correct. And we may get into that later on in the program. But what we really want to talk about tonight is something that all of you are very much aware of, because it's hit the news media in a big fashion. And it's this political correctness that is being imposed upon all of us citizens, and especially those who of us who would call ourselves Christians, concerning the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual individuals, that group of people there, especially the transsexual rights, to be treated not equally, but privileged. Now, those who maintain that we should not offend by word or by deed any of these perverted lifestyles have no problem offending the Christian, offending God's word, or offending God. And in this program, we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this kind of political correctness that is being imposed upon each and every one of us that want absolutely nothing to do with this kind of perversion at all. And we're asking the question tonight, should we listen to the Word of God or should we listen to man? Tom?
We're airing tonight on KOME 95.3 FM out of Glen Rose. Also, KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Canyon, and Amarillo, KWBY 98.5 FM out of Stephenville, KDAV AM 1590 out of Lubbock, and also KVOP AM 1090 out of Plainview. We're also airing on the through the internet radio, the gospelradionetwork.org. You will be able to also listen to this program again, a rebroadcast that will occur at 6 a.m. on Tuesday right there on the gospelradionetwork.org. Now, we want you to remember that our motto is and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible says. Now remember that this is a live call-in program and the number to call if you would like to get involved with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to remind you that if you'll go to our webpage at harrisonmoore.org, we have podcasts available. If you go to the opening page, the bottom right-hand corner of the website, you'll see an RSS feed. You click there and follow the instructions, and you can sign up for the podcast. We also would like for you to like us on Facebook, Harrison Moore, Expedition Through the Bible, as well. You can follow us on Twitter as well at harrisonmoore.org. Now, you can also contact us by email, questions@harrisonmoore.org. And we also want you to remember that if you'll go to the Gospel Radio Network, there's a chat room going on there where you can get involved in a discussion in the chat room there. Now remember, again, this is a live call-in program. On the number to call if you would like to get involved in a discussion with a question or a comment, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. David, political correctness is really the polar opposite of the Word of God. You know, they talk about how they don't want to offend anybody, and we ought not to say anything that offends anyone. But when you look at the Word of God, you'll notice that Jesus and His Word really is the most offensive truth that the world has ever known, because the Bible, it not only condemns error, but it also condemns sin. And anytime one has their sins condemned or their error condemned, they would deem that as being offensive. Mm-hmm. Now, the definition of political correctness itself, really, David, then, is an attempt to discredit the Word of God. I find it interesting in Psalm 53, verses 1 through 5, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. Every one of them is gone back. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon God? There were they in great fear, where no fear was. For God had scattered the bones of them that encamped against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because God hath rejected them." David, don't you believe it's the case that the political correctness has really come about because there is no fear of God
before
them.
Absolutely. You know, and the psalmist starts out there by saying the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Well, if you have no God, then you have no standard of right and wrong. It's only the standard that man wants to put at the highest level and that government wants to impose. That is the standard that we have when you take God and his righteousness out of there. Now, I think it's also interesting to note there in verse number 2 that you talked about the children of men. And that is in reference to those individuals who have totally rejected God and said, there is no God. They are a God unto themselves, and they do whatever it is that pleases them. And so, yes, when there's no standard of righteousness, there's no standard of right and wrong, that is because man has rejected God and rejected word and his word in turn.
And as a result, there in verse 3, it says, every one of them has gone back. They are together become filthy. You know, David, some of the things that are now being propagated and promoted under the guise of political correctness is really nothing but filth. And we think, and one of the case in points, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later, is that transgender bathroom scenario. Mm-hmm. That's nothing but pure out filth that they're wanting promoting under the guise of political correctness. David, one of the reasons I believe that this is really being promoted and the idea of political correctness is because no one wants to be told by God what to do. And once you start down that road, well, it just opens Pandora's box, and really, anything's going to go.
Well, you know, and that attitude is been in existence forever. However, what we're running into here and what God's people ran into 600, 700, 800 years ago in the society in which they lived in Israel and Judah, they were allowing the leadership of that country to tell them what was right and wrong separate and apart from God's word. Because they despised, like you said, they despised God's word because they didn't want God's word telling them what to do. So the leadership of that country, you know, 700, 800 years ago, this is nothing new. They also fell down that primrose path and decided that they can redo everything that God ever put together that was right and undo it and call that which was good evil, and that which was evil, good.
You know, when I think of our modern society, David, and the way people are living their lives and their unwillingness to adhere to the instructions of God, I can't help but think about Jeremiah chapter 6, in verse 16, where it says, thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls? But they said, we will not walk therein. Verse 17, and I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And David, that's exactly what's going on in our world today by this terminology, by this mentality of political correctness. We cannot offend anybody. We don't want you to offend me. And so, therefore, the word of God goes right out the door because people consider that to be offensive.
Well, and if you make the application of God's word to your life and you're living in darkness, it will be offensive. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you got to be offended before you're going to repent, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, people that are living in darkness like it there. They don't live there by accident. Mm-hmm. They live there by choice. And when you are living in darkness and light comes in, but you don't want the light, you reject the light and you stay in the darkness. There's a reason that these bars and honky-tonks turn the lights out when people get in there. You know, that's the way they like it.
You know, in John chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21. It says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his work should be reproved," mm-hmm. or we might say offended, right? "But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God." And so people don't want the word of God to come into their lives. They don't want to be offended. They don't want to be reproved. And so therefore, they're going to do things their own way.
Read for us verses 18 and 19, too. I think we're going to be able to see from that people actually choose the dark over the light.
Okay, in John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. "He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil." Let's go ahead and read verses 20 and 21 again. "For because everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his work should be reproved."
Amen.
And so people are choosing the political correct way, not because they're really concerned for the rights of people, but what they're doing is trying to escape the wrath of God, trying to escape the instruction of God. They just want to do things their own way.
Well, they love the darkness that they find themselves in. Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would like to hear your comments on this subject. We would like to hear your questions on this subject. We're going to give you some scripture here so that we can see that the Word of God is offensive, mm-hmm. which is absolutely and totally contrary to the definition of political correctness. So an individual who is holding up political correctness, I don't care whether he's a government official that has been elected by the people to be a representative of the people or not, that leader, wherever he may be, whether he was elected or whether he was appointed or whatever leader he may happen to be, that individual is trying to impose political correctness on the people and on Christians in particular. And God's word is not politically correct. All through the Bible, we find it is not politically correct. It was never designed to be politically correct. It was designed to reprove and rebuke those individuals who are living in darkness.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your first name and your question or your comment, please.
My name is Foy.
Hey, Foy.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the point you made a minute ago about people needing to be offended before they can repent.
Yes.
Modern horseshoers have what they call cold form horseshoes, but when I was a boy, there used to be a saying, "You can't bend iron until you get it hot."
Mm-hmm.
And the gospel preachers of years gone by used to live by that code, that folks really had to be disturbed before they'd ever repent. I really appreciate the program that's going on today. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you for a great comment.
That's a good point. Very good comment. And, you know, that's exactly the case. Unless a person gets heated, mm-hmm. unless they get offended, they're not going to make a change. Like Foy says, the horseshoe is not going to be bent until it gets hot. People aren't going to change until they get angry, until they get offended. And yet that's what the political world is trying not to do, not to offend anyone. But, David, you know, when we think about it, that's not really the case, is it?
No, and this political correctness is all about inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about non-divisiveness. Now, don't you be a divisive individual. You be all inclusive. And if that person wants to act like a dog, that's his prerogative. If that man wants to act like a woman, that's his prerogative. Mm-hmm. If he wants to dress up like a woman and be a pervert, that's his prerogative, and you have no right to say anything about it.
You have no right to offend them, right?
No.
But
That's what the world says.
But on the other hand, they have every right in their mind to offend the Christian, right?
No doubt about it.
And we'll talk more about that as we go on. And so it's not equal, is it, David?
No. No, it's not.
So you are not to offend anybody except God and Christians.
Exactly.
Well, Dave, when we think about this idea of being politically correct, there's a very powerful passage that kind of leads into some more of our discussion found in the book of Isaiah. You're turning over there, aren't you, David? Isaiah chapter 30.
Isaiah chapter 30. For those of you who would like to read along with us, and we would encourage you to do so, it's very important that you know what God has to say to us in His Word. Now, we want to point out this one fact. We are looking at some scripture that is in the Old Testament. We do not live under the laws of the Old Testament, but those principles of righteousness that are set forth in the Old Testament, they're brought right on forward into the New Testament, as we are going to see in just a moment. And so when we get to Isaiah chapter 30, God instructs Isaiah to say this. He says in verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, and these are the prophets, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, prophesy smooth things, prophesy deceit. Now, there is your political correctness that they're appealing to. The people, the rebellious children, said, don't tell us the truth, for crying out loud. Tell us a bunch of lies, and we will be happy with that. But it doesn't stop there. In verse number 11, it says, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Get God out of my way. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high hill, whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant.
You know, David, in reality, what they were doing is they were despising the word of God by, in their day, political correctness.
Absolutely.
Right? They were saying, we don't want to hear anything condemning. We don't want to hear anything negative. We want only smooth words. We don't want to be offended. And the Lord says, when you have that mentality, what you in reality are doing is you're despising, rejecting, and offending me by those very actions.
The very definition, Tom, the very definition that we read from Webster Dictionary just a moment ago, that very definition is offensive to God's word. It is contrary and diametrically opposed to the word and the will of God. And these people here in Isaiah's day, they say, prophesy not unto us right things. Those things that are right according to God.
In other words, lie to us.
Absolutely. Right? And then he says, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Those things that are lie. Don't offend us. You speak smooth things to us. When we act badly, you just go ahead and stroke us on the head there just a little bit and call it good, because we don't want to offend anybody and we don't want to be offended.
Exactly right. And there it lies the problem with our world today. It's not, nothing's new under the sun, is it, David?
No.
And so this political correctness, though it was not called such in the Old Testament, still was very much present. But you know, Dave, when we think about that same idea over in the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 15, there it says, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that ye may become blameless and harmless, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. Then when we think about this idea of perverseness, and is that not what the Old Testament there in Isaiah, they were perverse people. They did not want to be told the truth, right?
Right.
And we have the same thing going on today of people who are perverse, who are crooked, and people who don't want to hear what the truth of God's word is. They want to always hear smooth things, positive things, nothing ever of a negative nature.
Well, back in Isaiah again, chapter 30 and verse 12, you see, this is where that law is set. Now, the principle of righteousness brought forward into the New Testament, what you just got through reading. But let me remind everybody what verse number 12 says in Isaiah 30. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness. Mm-hmm. You trust in oppression and perverseness. Now, when we get over here to what you read just a moment ago, God is making a great, great contrast between the followers of his son Jesus Christ and those who would be the perverts of the world.
You know, we're living in day-to-day, David, where people, instead of listening to the word of God, would rather be involved in perverseness, like the transgender bathrooms. A man decides he wants to be a woman, so he decides to dress up like a woman and goes into the bathroom. You know, that's perverse. That's contrary to God's law. And yet they don't want to be spoken against. You know, David, I am just amazed how that some people, you know, we talk about the transgender society.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 0.5% of the world, of the United States, that are even this way. And yet they're going to change everything and promote perverseness just to contradict what God says. Make laws for 0.5% just so they can go against what God says.
Well, the one of the really things that I think has been overlooked in all of the media that has come about is these individuals on the backside of the definition of political correctness are offending 99.95% of the people of the United States of America by wanting to do what they're doing. Now, what we've got is a bunch of spineless, gutless representatives that we have elected to go to Washington, D.C. to represent us and to come up with these rules and these laws that would allow this to even happen. Could you even imagine this happening 7-8 years ago? I mean, just that recently, 15-20 years ago, it would just absolutely unheard of. But 7-8 years ago, you didn't hear about it.
You know, we've got our politicians, our men in authority, and we're going to talk more about this in just a moment, who are pushing this very political correct agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't help but think about in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Well, David, when political correctness is promoted and our government officials, our president, is promoting this very thing, well, that's an abomination. That's not having a government established on righteousness, and that is just a fly in the face against God and his holy word. And so this whole idea of political correctness is nothing, as we mentioned earlier, is nothing but going against God and his word.
Well, the sad part about this is people in our society are buying into it.
Yeah.
Even people that would call themselves Christians, they're buying into it. And they would come back at you. And I use that word Christian very loosely, that mm-hmm. people that would call themselves Christians, because these are the same people that beat on their chest and point up in the air and say, I have my own relationship with God. And what they would do is say, well, now what would Jesus do here? He was a kind-hearted man. What would Jesus do in this situation? Mm-hmm. He would be all-inclusive because he wants everybody to go to heaven. He died for the whole world. Yes, he did. But that doesn't mean the whole world is going to be saved.
Exactly.
They've
right.
got to come to a knowledge of the truth of God's word, and the political correctness is going in absolutely the opposite direction of God's truth and God's word.
You know, getting back to that idea you just mentioned, what would Jesus do? Mm-hmm. Jesus would be kind. Well, you know, Jesus was one of the most offensive men that ever walked the face of the earth.
No doubt. He's killed for it.
Yeah, and he was killed and he condemned constantly those who were involved in sin. And you just, you know, you look at Matthew chapter 23 and how that he was condemning and being very offensive to those people on that day and calling them hypocrites and snakes and blind fools, and woe was mentioned several times there. That would have been very offensive to those people. Jesus was not politically correct.
Never intended to be politically correct. He came to this earth, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, to seek and to save that which was lost. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't going to happen if he had been politically correct about everything that he had done.
Yeah, if you never offended anybody, if you never convicted them that they were in sin, that they were wrong, that they were living a wrong lifestyle, people aren't going to change.
No.
If you don't do that. Jesus was offensive, but it was for the benefit of their souls. And David, we need to be offensive for the benefit of the souls of men. If we're never offensive, people are never going to get out of their era and learn the truth.
Well, one of the problems that we're having right now in our society, in this once great nation that we live in now, we have refused to take a stand mm-hmm. against this kind of abhorrent behavior and call it what it is. You know, we did a program not too long ago. As a matter of fact, we just completed it. 3 weeks worth of a program on abortion and the such. And one of the things that just kept coming up over and over and over was the changing of terminologies so that it wouldn't be offensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the murder of a child in a womb is no longer called the murder of a child in a womb. It's called abortion because that just doesn't sound quite as bad.
Exactly right.
And so we have this changing of terminology. But we've got representatives and we got people in high places in leadership that are and it doesn't even necessarily have to be in our governmental agencies, but people in positions of leadership that are leading people down this abhorrent, politically correct path. And people are following like sheep, and when we need to stop and dig our heels into the ground and take a stand.
Yeah. You know, David, people have always not wanted to be offended
mm-hmm.
in all times. But what has changed now, David, is that now our government is now making laws
mm-hmm.
where we cannot offend people. But, you know, this has been condemned a long time ago also, David, about how that those in authority had begun to turn away from God. And, you know, that's all political correctness is.
Right.
Is turning away from God. When you look at Amos chapter 2 and verse 4, we'll read in just a moment. But you'll notice in chapter 1 of the book of Amos that he, through that chapter, condemns nations like Damascus and Gaza and Tyre and Edom and Ammon and Moab. And in chapter 2 and verse 4, he comes to Judah. And it says in chapter 2 and verse 4, thus saith Jehovah. For three transgressions of Judah, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have rejected the law of Jehovah, and have not kept his statutes, and their lies have caused them to err, after which their fathers did walk. David, they rejected God's law. They told lies as a result. You know, put your allegiance in idols. Don't believe the prophets. Whatever lies they were telling, it was all under the guise of rejecting God's law. Well, David, what has really changed?
Nothing. And when he talks about they and the transgression of Judah, first of all, we need to point out to some of our listeners that Judah is God's people. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about Judah, this is God's people in God's promised land that he gave them. Now, these are the very ones that have turned their back on God now, God's children, and the leadership, it says they, and he's talking about the leader, they have despised and rejected the law of the Lord. They have not kept his commandments, and their lies have caused them, the people of God, to err. Mm-hmm. Because you've got leadership and you got followership. And when you got evil leadership, then your followership is going to be basically pretty evil for all the rest of the time that you got the evil leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, we have seen that right here in this country.
Exactly right. And that's what's leading into this political correctness, the evil of our government, who are promoting things that are contrary to God's law. That's why you have homosexuality and the protection of it because of being politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what got those bakers in trouble in Oregon. I think we'll talk about that a little bit more later. It's all in the guise of political correctness. You can't condemn. You know, everything now is going to be turned into a hate crime, right? You can't condemn anything. You got to be politically correct, and if you're not politically correct, then you're involved in a hate crime. And there, you know, we could be put under charge, could we not, David?
Surely.
You and I?
Surely.
For condemning what God condemns? Isn't that a sad day where you can't even speak where God speaks without being condemned, without being being accused of hate crime or, you know, accused of not being politically correct? We're in a very sad state of affairs in our world today.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Now, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to have you pick up the phone and call, give us your comment, make a question, whatever you want to do. We would love to have it because we're going to give you a Bible answer for this. Now, Tom was reading there in the book of Amos, and now I want us to fast forward about 750 to 775 years forward over here to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to see the very same principles of righteousness set forth for us over here in the book of Ephesians, the letter that was written by Paul, or the letter that actually was written by the Holy Spirit through the pen of Paul, to the church at Ephesus. And he is warning them, giving them a warning about this evil thought process that has permeated the world in which the church exists. And he tells them there in verse number 12. He says, "For we wrestle not," or fight not, "against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, what that tells me is you've got governmental agencies, you've got financial institutions, you've got leadership in different areas of society that are leading the followers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are spiritually wicked. They are locked into the darkness of this world. We read about that darkness of this world just a moment ago. People love darkness rather than light, and that's the reason they stay in it. And they don't want anybody else to get into their in their way from them living in the darkness that they have chosen to live in, because at that point, it's not going to be politically correct.
Exactly right. Now, the number to call tonight is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We'd love you to call in and give us a your comment or a question that you might have. Tonight, for those who may be coming in late, we want to remind you that we're talking tonight about political correctness and how it has run amok. We're living in a society, David, where nobody wants to be offended. And as a result of that, because of that mentality, because people are opposed to what God says, opposed to what the Holy Word says, they want to say, well, you cannot offend anybody. But what we've seen so far is we don't want to be offended, but you can offend a Christian, right? That's the whole mentality going on in our world today.
Yes, it is.
And because of this idea of political correctness, we now have where 0.03% of people are taking precedent over the majority of our nation with regard to this transgender bathroom scenario. Isn't it amazing, David? You know, I don't know what the percentage of Christians or the so-called Christendom is in the United States of America, but you know it's got to be much, 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 much larger than the 0.03% of those transgender people who want to go to the bathroom. They don't want to offend them, but they want to offend all of these Christians.
Well, I guess the most fascinating thing that comes from all of those statistics there is that we in this country, we have more people that call themselves Christians than we do transsexuals, lesbians, gays, bisexual, and Muslims. And yet even the Muslims, through our government, have more influence than the Christian nation does of the United States of America.
And what I want to know, David, is what is our political hierarchy going to do when it comes between offending a Muslim or offending a homosexual? There's coming a day when they're going to have to choose which one they want to offend, because those two are diametrically opposed to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've
mm-hmm.
already chose to offend Christians, but what's going to happen when it comes to the homosexual and the Muslim? Well, I guess we'll tune in later to find out what happens.
Right. Well, hopefully, before that ever gets a toehold in this country, we as spokespersons for God's word will take a stand and be a little bit more bold about the things that we do instead of what we don't do. Now, here in 2 Corinthians.
Well, speaking of stand,
yes.
David, while you're right there in Ephesians chapter 6, notice through that section there, verses 10 through about verse 18, the word stand or withstand is found several times, at least four or five times throughout that section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, we have to take a stand. And when you take a stand, there are going to be people who are offended by that.
Right.
But we've got to stand, you know, not because we just want to make people mad. Our purpose, David, is it not to save souls? And
yes.
In doing so, people are going to have to be offended. But we're going to have the courage to stand. We have too many Christians, too many preachers who are sissy boys who don't want to stand up and be counted because they're afraid of, well, I don't want to offend, I don't want to be, you know, politically incorrect. You know, that's not going to solve the problems of the world.
Well, you know, we have a couple of good points made on the chat box here. One of them is given to us by Bill, and he says, people are afraid of the consequences in today's political world. They could be sued for standing up for their rights, and few can afford the monetary burden that can arise from being aggressive. Now, we're going to give you a couple of examples of this in just a moment. But then Bill comes back and he says, the media has too much power in this country. They are ruling the country. They have the means and the money to promote anything that they deem worthy. And that is also true. But the media can't make laws.
Right.
We have men that are elected, men and women that are elected, that make laws. And these are the individuals that are causing the problem.
And, you know, and the media really, in reality, is simply puppets of those in charge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And so we think about this idea, then, of whether or not we can actually be politically correct or incorrect. Well, you know, we talked about there in Ephesians, David, how that there were those who in high places, rulers, who were involved in wickedness. And, David, that's what's really behind political correctness. It's not trying to be fair with humanity. It's getting away from the Word of God. That's really what's behind political correctness.
Well, you know, I think it's also interesting that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote the letter to the Ephesians, but he also wrote the letter over here to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4 and 5. And there we are told something that is very, very similar, and it has to do with the spiritual conflict against the enemies of righteousness. And this is what we're talking about here. The political correctness is the enemy of righteousness. And the spiritual conflict is between the Word of God and this political correctness, or the enemy of righteousness. Now, in verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare as Christians are not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And he's telling us that as Christians, we've got to subdue the false reasonings of men. Mm-hmm. That is our job as a Christian. We've got to take a stand, Tom. And this is the reason we're in the mess that we're in right now, because we're not taking a stand.
You know, it's really, David, a battle of the mind. Getting people's mind back to God, getting people doing the things that God has said. But we live in a society where people don't want to be offended, and so they're straying away from God's Word, and anything that offends, well, they want to get away from. But, you know, David, we realize that it's all right to offend the Christian.
Well, and we have an interesting statistic here that was pulled up by J.A.A.M. He said, it took me a second to log on, but it was said earlier regarding the Christian population versus the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community. So I did a quick Google search, and according to Wikipedia, approximately 70.6% identify as Christian in the United States of America.
And that was based on a 2014 study.
Okay, so tell me, how is it that over 70% of the people in the United States of America have less influence over our leadership than 0.03?
You know, and David, I would dare to say that even some who do not claim to be Christian would not go for a man dressed up like a woman to go into a bathroom where their little girl was.
Well, or my wife.
Yeah.
Or my grandmother.
And
or
yet,
anybody else.
And, you know, it is just, it just makes me angry. It is just stupid. It, you know, I don't know how strong you can get than ignorant, stupid, dumb to allow that 0.03% to change the way our world looks at things.
And it's the power of influence of the political correct society in which we live.
And you know,
power of influence, and we cannot escape the power of influence.
And how much, you know, and how much does money play a part in all this?
Oh, it plays a tremendous part, and it's a shame that we are running out of time, because we got a lot of stuff to cover here, and we will never get through it with the time that we have allotted here in this hour that we have. But I want us to go back for just a moment and talk about what you talked about just a moment ago. And for those of you who have your Bibles handy, please turn to the book of Ephesians and look at chapter 6, because I want you to see the instructions of God through the pen of Paul to the church there at Corinth. Now, this has to do with just exactly what we're talking about here, taking a stand against that which is transgression, sin, evil, wickedness, immorality. I don't care how you want to dress that word up, but this is what we are commanded to do. First of all, over there in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, in verse number 11, he says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, we've already talked about what darkness is, but it is that which people choose to live in. Well, have no fellowship with them, but it's not enough just to get away from them. Rebuke them, reprove them, and that is going to be offensive and not politically correct. But then we jump over here to chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, finally, let me sum this up for you, brethren. He says, finally, my brethren, all of you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How are we going to do that, Tom?
Well, we're going to have to be offending people. We're going to have to stand up, right?
And how are we going to get that power?
Well, it comes from the Word of God. Put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
You know, when he talks about the armor of God, you know, the talk there about gird yourself the loins of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the preparation of the gospel and on down through there. Every single part of the armor has to deal with the Word of God in some way.
Yes.
That's where we get the ability and the courage to stand, and yet that is the very thing that the political correct society wants to get away from.
Right. And he says right here, he says, put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In verse 14, he says, stand therefore. And so the emphasis here is get a backbone.
Exactly right.
Because we are not fighting alone here. Well, you know, Paul would say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And this is what he's saying over here in the verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because we are not fighting this fight alone. We've got God on our side. And if God is with us, who can be against us?
Exactly right. Now, before we give you a couple of concluding remarks and statements about our program tonight, we want to remind you and give a shout out to our additional sponsors. We want you to realize that all the money that comes into this program goes directly into programming. David and I do not receive any kind of salary from the Harrison Moore Expedition of the Bible.
And Frank doesn't either.
It all goes directly to radio airtime. And we want to thank the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, the Santo Church of Christ in Santo, Texas. And we also want to give a shout-out and a thanks to some individuals that have also made this programming possible. We have the Hansons in Weatherford, the Swigerts in the Metroplex area, the Keeters in Iredell, the Forehands in Hamilton, the Moores in Dripping Springs, and we're thankful to individuals like these and congregations who have enough concern for the souls of man that they want to see this programming continue. Now, David, in our last about 3 or 4 minutes that we have left, when we think about this idea of political correctness, what is really behind their agenda?
Well, what's really behind their agenda is to try to destroy the Word of God mm-hmm. and take it completely out of our society to where it will not guide anybody out of darkness and into light, because they like it there in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Destroy God's Word. It is opposed. Everything is opposed. Politically correctness is opposed to the Word of God.
Exactly right. And therein lies the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's why they have no problem in offending the Christian population of the world.
Right.
Because they don't want them to have a word. Well, we're going to have to, as you mentioned a moment ago, have enough courage to stand up like we have done tonight. We know there's a lot of people who were willing to stand with us on this. And not until we raise enough ruckus will we be heard. Why do you think, David, that some of the minority people, you know, when you think about homosexuals and you think about those who claim to be transgender, why do they get their way so much? Well, you know the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, mm-hmm. right? We need to speak up. We need to stand. We need to let the Word of God be heard and not allow anybody to shut our mouths.
And for those of you who want to get on this side of the fence, and you're either on one side or the other, mm-hmm. you can't straddle the fence, you've got to become a Christian. And there is a plan. It's God's plan for you to become a Christian. It is to hear the Word of God and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And upon that belief, we are to repent. And that is to change. It doesn't make any difference what you were and how far into darkness you have been in your lifetime. You can come out of there and you can change. And then we are to confess that sweet name of Jesus before men, not ashamed of it, but absolutely and totally committed to him. And then there's one thing left for us to do, Tom.
We're going to have to be baptized. You know, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."
Amen.
You know, sadly, David, that even offends some so-called Christian people.
Yes, it does.
The Word of God will offend people when they want to not believe in what the Bible has to say.
Well, it's just not a politically correct thing to a lot of people
in
the religious world that God is so exclusive about his plan.
And
they want to reject it.
And so when those on the day of Pentecost did that very thing, were baptized for the remission of the sins, Acts 2, verse 47 says, "The Lord added them to his church," singular. Now, David, it's important for us to realize the exclusive nature of the Lord and his church. We're going to have more on this next week. You know, we've been talking about political correctness. We're going to get into some more details on certain things. Some of our businesses and governments that are involved in this political correctness and shoving it down our throat. Well, the only thing we're going to be able to do, Dave, is just stand up and fight to the best of our ability.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank everyone for listening in. We want to thank you for jumping on the chat box, making our phone calls. You are what makes this program possible, and we want you to hear what God has to say and not necessarily what man has to say. Join us next week.
Praise thy face,
Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show discussing the important topics and current events threatening our Christian faith. Please join us every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. and call in with any questions or comments at 855-QA-BIBLE. That's 855-QA-BIBLE, or email your questions and comments to questions@harrisonmoore.org. Our motto is, you've heard what men have to say, now listen to what the Bible has to say. Harrison Moore. More Expedition Through the Bible every Monday night from 6 to 7 on this radio station. Great is thy faithfulness.